continue the sheet order in Gemara. It's an old fact that people put a lot of stress on the so-called weather bureau. The predictions of the weather bureau are taken seriously by a lot of educated, intellectual people. And yet, Abinazal stressed the fact that there is no such thing as prognosticating the weather, because the weather is changeable during the period of a single day. No one can predict the weather of the future, not even the weather of a single day itself. Still, there must be something behind this profession of predicting weather, the profession of meteorologists. Well, what do they base their predictions? Well, mainly, the weather is determined by the winds and by the, that is, the velocity of the winds, by the position of the moon, the tides, which are determined by the position of the moon too. And there is, in a sense, a little possibility of understanding the chances of good weather as of against rough weather. The basic knowledge that's necessary is the knowledge of the winds. It would seem to us that meteorologists who study this deeply know much more about it than we do. We meaning those who study Torah. The fact is that the Torah speaks about the wisdom of the winds in detail. There's no switching, no altering the nature of winds. The Gemara tells us, for example, to give us the basic knowledge, that there are four winds that blow every day. Of course, at different times. Different times in the day, there are four winds. Each wind is given its choice, is given its time, set time when it serves Hashem by blowing. However, the Gemara says that the north wind must accompany every one of the other three winds during the time they serve. Because if not, then the world would actually cease to exist. The other three winds are so powerful that they would destroy the world if they didn't have the north wind to abate them, to ease them. The most serious, strongest wind is the south wind, the most dangerous wind of all. Now, to illustrate more clearly this wisdom of the winds, remember we had an elementary item known to everyone, that David HaMelech was a tzaddik who publicized the great mitzvah known as Tikkun Chatzot. Tikkun Chatzot means the special prayer that is said at midnight, exactly midnight, in which the very religious Jews rise up to bewail, bemoan, cry over the Churban Bet HaMikdash. At exactly midnight is a special set of tefillot of prayers which Jews mourn the Churban Bet HaMikdash. Why exactly at that time? Because the Gemara says that at midnight exactly there is a meeting that takes place in heaven. At midnight, the yeshiva, there are two yeshivot in heaven. One is called the yeshiva of the head chief malach, mentioned in the Gemara in Chagigah, Malach Memtet. That's called the Mitzvta Derikia, heavenly yeshiva. There's also Mitzvta Ila'a, the Rosh Yeshiva. That yeshiva is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, Hashem himself. The difference between these two yeshivot, the Zohar Kadosh explains, is that the yeshiva, the heavenly yeshiva, there are many questions and answers, pilpul, chakirot, depth, and going into deep questions, trying to find answers for them, solving many problems in the Gemara. However, in the yeshiva Mesifta Ila'a, the uppermost yeshiva of Hashem, there are no questions there. Everything is clear. Clarify, the dinim are pure and settled. no problems to solve. Now this uppermost yeshiva, yeshiva of Hashem himself, here the Gemara says that Hashem himself has a session exactly at midnight, together with the neshamot, the souls of the holiest tzaddikim. The Gemara learns that from Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Bati Degani Achoti Kala, I come to this garden, special garden meaning referring to the yeshiva of heaven, and at this special assembly, Hashem teaches these special shiur in Torah, the highest level of Torah, to these tzaddikim. And the Zohar Kadosh says how fortunate, of course this is in Shulchan Aruch, a person can read this in the simple basic Shulchan Aruch, this law, how blessed are those people who are awake at this special hour of Chatzot, of midnight, because then their soul comes attached to, becomes part of, these souls in heaven. And though a person cannot detect this feeling himself, but his soul does feel it, his soul derives the pleasure of hearing the special words of Torah in heaven. This is the importance of the time element of Chatzot. At the same time, because of that special meeting in heaven, this time is considered so holy that a person who prays then, who joins in at this moment in praying for the Binyan Bet HaMikdash, for the Geula Shlema, that person's tefillot are so much more precious than at any other time in the 24-hour period. Now, we come back to the case of King David. The Gemara says, the beginning of Brachot, the Gemara says that King David would rise up at Chatzot to say the special Shirot v'Tishbachot, prayers and songs to Hashem, at the exact hour of midnight. How did he know when it was midnight? What would awaken him? And the Gemara says, Kinor Hayat Talui, there was a harp that was hung on the bedpost of King David, and exactly at midnight the wind would come blowing in and it would begin playing this harp, and it would serve as an alarm clock, musical alarm clock, like we have radio alarms. This would awaken King David or notify him of the fact that it's Chatzot. If he wasn't asleep, he was learning until then, he'd be notified of the fact that it's Chatzot and it's time to him to start the special Tikkun Chatzot, these prayers of midnight. So we know that it's this harp that awakened him. What caused the harp to begin playing? It was the Ruach Tzifonit Menashevet. The Gemara Berachot says that the north wind came in and started to blow upon the strings of this harp, and that's what caused the music in this harp. So here we have a clear explanation. Rashi Kadosh says, taken from this Gemara we're learning now, that there are four winds, and each wind serves equal time. The day consists of 24 hours. Each wind serves Hashem for a six-hour period. The first wind to serve, these six-hour periods, according to Hebrew law, always begin at, the day begins at 6 a.m. And we always call this before Chatzot, before noon, 6 a.m. to noon. The daytime hours, afternoon, which begins the time of Mincha, is from 12 noon till 6 p.m. 6 p.m. to midnight are the evening hours, that's called Leil, evening, and from midnight on until 6 a.m., that's called Laila, that's the night hours. The difference between Leil and Laila, of course, is a long topic in itself. We will not enter into Kabbalah. We know is that when the hay is there, the letter hay added, it means what's known in the Kabbalah language is Yichud Kutcha Benichu Mishchintei, a Yichud between of the above the letters of Hashem's name. Now, these four periods of 6 hours each, we go back to Gemara, to Nigla. The Gemara says that the first 6 hours, that's the morning AM hours, first wind to start the day is the east wind. That's called Kedem, Ruach Kadim. The east wind begins the day from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And then it goes clockwise, 6 a.m. till noon, rather. And it goes clockwise at noontime, The next direction is south, going to the right, so that the south wind serves from noon until 6 p.m. Then we have clockwise again, the west wind serves from 6 p.m. until midnight, and then is the turn of the north wind. So exactly at midnight is when the north wind begins to serve. And therefore, King David placing his harp in that position, positioned to receive the north wind exactly at the moment it began to serve, he knew that this was exactly midnight, the time for the north wind to blow. However, as we said, the north wind, though its main serving time is midnight to morning, still it must assist the other winds, assist them, that is, to block their force, to ease the power of these winds, because otherwise they'd be so destructible as to actually destroy the entire world, the Gemara says. Now, why do we say that? What is the secret behind this? Why do we say that the south wind is the greatest power of destruction, and the north wind, Ruach Tzifonit, is the healthiest power, the strongest power for good? In fact, we find the Gemara says in Yevamot that the Jews in Kiddushin also, if the Jews would not have had the north wind in the desert, they could not have existed. The fact the north wind wasn't there steadily is why they could not, the Jews did not perform the mitzvah Brit Milah, because they could not have a cure effected for them until Yehoshua finally had them all perform the mitzvah Milah, that is, Priah, that was missing. Because the north wind is the healthiest wind for curing. The reason that makes the south wind a wind of evil force, harmful force, north wind a healthful one, is that the sun, remember we said that Hashem gave Abraham Avinu, he blessed Abraham Avinu with a special diamond, Bakol. One of the rabbis interprets that as a diamond which contained all the medical powers on earth. When Abraham Avinu was nistalek, when he passed away, this power of curing, his curative power, was taken and then hung on the rays of the sun. So the sun's rays now contain the health-giving powers, curative powers, like vitamin D or any kind of any rays that would cure a person's ills or ailments. As the Gemara says, idli yuma, idli ktsida. When the sun rises, the illness is eased. In the morning, a sick person always feels better when the sun comes up. So here we have the time of the sun too. The sun rises in the morning and it reaches its peak at noon. It begins to wane, to descend, to go down at the noon hour. This is sort of the fall, the rise and fall of the sun. The fall of the sun begins at the noon hour, and therefore this is a decline which represents a lack of health and an increase in the opposite. That's the time when the south wind begins to serve at noon. Therefore, the south wind is so destructive. Now the sun begins to rise, usually somewheres in the early morning hours. The north wind serves from midnight till 6 a.m. in the morning. Most of the year, the sun rises at that time, before 6 a.m., therefore, the north wind is blessed with the powers of the sun, which give it these curative powers too. So this would solve the question as to why the north wind is so helpful and the south wind is the contrary. This is a topic that's very strange, admittedly, because it's very different than any lesson we've had previously. We brought this out for two reasons. First place, we are up to this place in the Gemara. We don't want to skip anything. Second place, it's important to note that the Torah contains knowledge of every facet of every topic that's known to man, plus the Torah is the words of Hashem, and therefore here you have the truth on every topic you desire. Now the Gemara says, there's a chloket, debate between the rabbis of the Gemara, as to which direction a person is supposed to face when he davens. It would seem obvious that a person is supposed to face the one he is praying to, which means the Shekhinah, Spirit of Hashem. Question is now, where is the Spirit of Hashem? We know that Hashem is Malot Kol Haaretz Kevodo. Hashem is everywhere, unquestionably. Yet, we find that Hashem himself was mitzamtzim. He confined, kaviyachol, if we can use that term, he confined himself, his spirit, into narrow quarters. It's called the tzimtzum. In the Beit HaMikdash, for instance. Not only there, but in the Kodesh Kodashim. Or, meanwhile, temporarily at the Kotel Maravi. Lo zaza shechina me Kotel Maravi. The Shechina is at the west wall of the Beit HaMikdash. So since the people in the Beit HaMikdash had to bow to Hashem, to the Shechina, we can determine in which direction the Shechina is. Now this, we could, of course. We say now there is a debate as to this point. Yemeneh says there are other ways to determine it too. For example, one rabbi says that it is obvious we must bow when we daven. We should always face the west direction of the west, because that is where the Shekhinah is. Now what is his proof? This rabbi, Yeshua Levi, says proof is that we see the hosts of the heavens, the sun and the moon, bow before Hashem. As they serve, they bow before Hashem, they revolve. In their revolutions, the sun keeps going up and then downwards, which means that it's bowing before its creator. The sun always moves in a westerly direction, from east to west, which would prove then that the facing the Shekhinah, the sun bows before the Shekhinah, and therefore this would prove that the Shekhinah is in the west, Maravi, and therefore we should face the west when we daven also. The second rabbi disagrees with this proof, just with the proof itself. He says this is no proof, because perhaps the reason that the sun bows towards the west is simply because when a person enters into the throne room of a king, and when he leaves the throne room, he leaves it not turning his back upon the king, but respectfully he walks out backwards, facing the king as he moves away. So here, the sun continues to serve, to move, to revolve in its making its revolutions, always moving in a backwards direction, never to turn its back to the Shekhinah. Which means the Shekhinah is in the east, and the sun keeps moving towards the west, but in a backwards direction, its face turned to the east, respectfully towards the Shekhinah. So this is very possible, it's very logical, as respect to its creator. This would be the position the sun takes, which would mean that the Shekhinah is in the east, we should pray to the east. And this rabbi says, since this is no proof, therefore we would say that the Shekhinah is everywhere. We cannot say that the Shekhinah is in one specific spot, in a certain direction, east or west, north or south. The Shekhinah is everywhere. For this, he says, we have conclusive proof. Because we find in the statement of Eov, when Eov was in his debate with Hashem, remember the story of Eov we had in detail during his suffering when he complained. His three friends tried to console him until finally Hashem himself spoke up to Eov in a storm. And Hashem said to Eov, where were you when I created the world, if you claim you know so much about fate, about the stars? And then this statement was made in this debate. Hashem said to Eov, did you ever try to shoot an arrow? And when the arrow reached its spot, he said, I have landed. Here I am, reporting to the one that shot the arrow. Meaning thereby that when Hashem sends a malach, an angel, on a mission, no matter where the angel goes, he reaches the spot. He does not have to return to Hashem to say, I have completed my mission. Wherever he reaches, there he reports to Hashem. Hashem sends him to a certain land or to a certain realm in heaven. When he gets to that point, the angel says to Hashem, right there, Hineni, here I am. Which means that wherever he goes to, he will still find Hashem there. These are the words of Hashem to Iyov. Therefore, this proves that the Shekhinah is everywhere. These are discussions and debates as to where the Shekhinah is, and therefore which direction a person should daven to. This was a debate in the Gemara, theoretically. Actually, we know that we call the Kotel, the Gemara says Kotel, a wall. Why is it so special as Kotel? Tel, Shakol, Ponim, Elav. This is a mound, or a mountain to which this mount of where the Beit HaMikdash is a mountain to which all faces turn, so that no matter where a Jew is, he faces towards the central focal point, which means that all Jews in the world is round, there's a central point, and all Jews face towards the central point. Jews living west of the Beit HaMikdash face east. Jews living east of the Beit HaMikdash face west. Jews living north of it face south. Those living south face north. Which means, therefore, that all Jews then turn their eyes towards the same spot, towards the Beit HaMikdash. If a person is lost, they does not have a compass, does not know which direction to turn to, then the Gemara says, the Din says, he should turn his face up to heaven directly. This, of course, is only in case of emergency. Always, the rule is, the Zohar HaKadosh says, that a person's tefillot do not travel vertically. When you daven here, you cannot face upwards and say, my prayers go directly up to heaven. All prayers must go first horizontally to the Makom Beit HaMikdash, to the Kotel Meravi, and there they turn in a vertical position upwards. That's called a Sha'arei Shamayim, Sha'arei Tefillah. This is the spot where prayers go up. That's where they ascend to heaven. So that a person always faces towards the direction of the Beit HaMikdash. His prayers go in that direction, then they rise up. Eventually, a person is zocheh to be at the Kotel Meravi, at the Makom Mikdash, has the greatest shortcut to these gates of heaven. There's prayers ascend directly upwards, vertically, to the entrance of heaven, and certainly there's prayers much more empowered. They're sort of not knocked out by that long journey, crossing the ocean and so on. The Kiddushah of the place is so great that the tefillot are much more effective. And that is why a person, every person, should, must strive all his power to be zocheh, to come to Eretz Yisrael, even if for a short visit, even walking 4 amot. Certainly, if possible, to go to the Mekamot HaKadoshim, the holy places in Eretz Yisrael, and there to immerse himself, purify himself in that mikveh, that heavenly mikveh of these holy places. There, the mikveh is the air itself. The avir of Eretz Yisrael is holy. As the Zohar HaKadosh says, the avir is machkim. Why is it machkim? Why, Gemara says later on, that the air of Eretz Yisrael brings chokhmah. Because we know that the letter Yud is always the chokhmah. Yud al shem chokhmah nemra, al shem machshava v'chokhmah, as Rashi HaKadosh says in Az Yashir Moshe. And this letter Yud is injected into the light of Torah. So the person is Torah chokhmah, the or with the letter Yud is the avir, together the word avir of Eretz Yisrael, which is machkim. The Torah, of course, of Tzion. Ki mitzion teitzei Torah. The person should strive his utmost to be zocheh, to come to Eretz Yisrael, to go to these holy places, to receive, to absorb this holy light, the holy air, and he can then come back and inspire others, imbue others with his gains. Eventually, his plan should be to be zocheh to settle in Eretz Yisrael permanently. And of course, there to await the coming of Mashiach. You're much better off if Mashiach comes and he finds you in Eretz Yisrael than having to be obligated to him to bring you there. transportation charges are deducted from your credits. This way it's so much better if you are found to be zoche on your own to be in Eretz Yisrael, to welcome Mashiach there first. Because, as the Gemara says, Mashiach will come to Eretz Yisrael first, naturally, to where the last Sanhedrin war, which is Tiberia, and there he'll become revealed. So how much better off are those Jews in Eretz Yisrael to receive him there, rather than to have to go through the embarrassing position of being found outside of the Kedusha. So again, each person should strive his best to be zoche, to get to Eretz Yisrael as quickly as possible, and all expenses and all difficulties and all barriers can be overcome through sheer willpower alone. There is nothing in existence that can withstand the power of a person's will when the will is for a mitzvah. Now the Gemara tells us something which sounds very strange again. We said we're on a topic that's sort of alien, foreign to what we've had until now, but we don't want to skip anything. We now come to a debate in the Gemara, Machloket, that, as we said, would sound very strange. This Machloket took place about 2,000 years ago. It would seem as though it took place just about 500 years ago. Lahavdil b'elav havdalot. Time when the world was in a quandary. There was a controversy over the question as to whether the world is flat or round. A person would travel and fall off the world, or if the world was round. There is a controversy over this in the Gemara. One rabbi, one tenor, says that the world is three-sided. The world has three sides only, and one side, the north, is open. The world is shaped like the letter Chet. The top of the Chet would be the south, and then the two sides, that is, depends which side you're facing, would be east and west, and the opposite, the south, the north side, is completely open. The sun, as it revolves around the earth, this too is very contrary to scientists who believe the opposite. The question of which revolves around which, we won't go into their tame opinions. The Gemara states here very definitely that the sun revolves around the earth, and we won't even discuss any different viewpoint. Chas v'shalom. So the point is that when the sun revolves, when it gets to the northern section of the earth, it covers nothing, but it goes beyond that into the cloaked in the sky itself. This is one tenor says that. Rabbi Yeshua says the world is round, and that is on all sides, including the north. Yeshua goes on to explain the revolution's direction of the sun. Now first, let's see what the Rabbi Eliezer said. Surely Rabbi Eliezer knew that the world was round, because this is a clear statement in the Gemara, many places. When he said that the world was three-sided and the north side is open, there is much more depth than we see superficially in his words. Because the Zohar Kadosh says that this refers to the creation of the world. And when the Chazal rabbis tell us that the world was created with the letter Bet, because all the letters came before Hashem, to create the world with that letter, to begin the Torah, which is the blueprint of the world, and therefore the main letter which the world is created by, Hashem chose the letter Bet because of many reasons. It stands for the word Beracha, blessing, and so on. Also, as Rabbi Eliezer says, because the letter Bet is open on three sides, that is, open on one side, closed on three sides, to show the possibility of a person falling off. What's meant by coming to the end of the world and falling off? Person who is created for a special mission to perform the mitzvot that are found in the Torah, which begins the letter Bet. Person who does not fulfill this mission properly and has a yirida, and a fila, he falls from this mission, falls into sin, he becomes a casualty of the yetzer hara, of the satan. That person has room where to fall from. Habela tameh potchen lo, the Gemara says. One comes to make himself impure, they open a door wide for him. That's the opening of the letter bet. Same time, that opening remains. If a person falls, that opening remains open and not closed, which means that any person at all, no matter how far he has fallen, no matter how badly he has fallen, no matter how much he has sinned, rebelled against his Borei Olam, his Creator, he still is given the opportunity to come back. The door is held wide open. Messiah, because he fell, he needs assistance to pick him up and carry him back through that opening. In fact, the Gemara says in Menachot that there's an additional opening, the letter Hey, which is also Ki Mika Hashem Tzur Olamim. Yud Ke Hashem Tzur Olam, Hashem created the worlds with the letters Yud and K. The Yud is Olam Haba, the K is Olam Hazeh. The Gemara explains why. The Yud is a small letter, can end in a small because there are so few tzadikim. Letter K is large for this world, Olam Hazeh. Letter K has two openings. One, the large opening in the bottom, and the second opening on the side, that a person doing the Shabbat can find his way through it, any matter, no matter where he turns. So this is what the letter Bet means to imply, and this is the lesson that Eliezer teaches us. The world is open on one side, open a chance for a Rashad to leave, the Bechira is free, free choice. You don't want to join the side of good, you don't want to select, take for yourself Bechata Bechayim, life, Torah. You can leave, you can fall. But if you find that you want to return to Hashem, your teshuvah will not be rejected. It will be completely accepted by Hashem. Now that Yeshua says that the world is round, he describes the direction of the sun, the movement the sun takes. We know that basically the sun is revolving around the earth, or generally moving. The movements of the sun are caused by the Shira, the song, the prayer that the sun says to Hashem. The sun davens constantly. It never stops. Never stops because the sun continues to shine 24 hours a day. When it's dark here, it's light for those beneath us, the other part of the world. And in fact, the sun's rays always shine for us, because even at night we still receive the light of the sun. The moonlight is not actually light of the moon, it's the reflection, the mirror of the sun's rays. So we always have the pleasure of the sun itself. The sun is always serving, always on the move. And what gives the sun this perpetual motion? The speech, the song, the prayer of the sun, the Shidat Hachama. Now, if the sun would stop saying these words of prayer, the sun would become immobile. It could not budge. It could not move anymore. Therefore, the Zohar Kadosh says that if, when Yehoshua wanted to stop the sun in Givon, he did not say to the sun, Atzor, stop. He said, Shemesh b'Givon, dom. Dom means remain silent. Be silent, do not say Shida. By being silent, the sun will be forced to stop. So now the direction the sun takes, the sun always rises in the east. However, the Gemara says this depends upon the season of the year. The winter season, we have the sun with us for a short part of the day. The sun rises late and sets early. Summer season, the sun rises early and sets late. Summer we have long days, winter we have short days. Now what is the exact movement of the sun? Why is it longer in the summer and shorter in the winter? Because in the summer, long days of the summer, the sun rises in the east, but at the northernmost corner of the east. So if this is the east, let's say the north is always to the left. Northernmost corner of the east, let's take this room for example. This would be the east wall, that would be the north. The sun would rise at the northeast corner, cover the entire east, and then turn right, cover the entire south, then cover the entire west, and reach the northwest corner. So the sun would cover three sides of the world. This is why we have long days in the summer, which means that always the sun rises in the east, no matter when, and it sets in the west. The sunbright rises northeast, sets in the northwest. Winter days, the sun rises at the extreme southeast corner, again in the east, but southeast. It covers the entire south, and it sets in the west, but in the southwest, which means that the winter time, it covers one-third of the distance. It covers the entire south from east to west. So, in short, in brief, the sun always rises in the east, always sets in the west, always, without exception, covers the entire south of the world. The difference between the summer and winter is the east and western parts of the world. That's added in the summertime. The sun never shines in the north. This, very briefly, covers the route of the sun. And this, of course, can be checked. You can see it physically if you watch the sun rise in the summer and winter. The only thing is, again, we have to stress the fact that it is the sun that revolves around the earth. This is stated very clearly in this Gemara, many other places in the Gemara, throughout the Zohar HaKadosh, throughout all the Sifrei Kabbalah, throughout all the Sifrei Musar, and there are some people who mistakenly, erroneously, very erroneously, and very shamefully, direct attention to the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Tzadik Dalet, where they want to imply from there that there are some opinions there who say the contrary. Something about the earth revolving. Chas v'shalom, that's Megaleh Panim b'Torah Shelo Kalacha. That's definitely interpreting the Gemara very, very falsely, extremely falsely, taking out a false statement from the Gemara by one's own volition, and definitely a criminal act of kefida. Because this whole mistaken notion, scientific notion that came from C, his name begins with a C, we will not mention his name, this scientist who lived about 500 years ago, came up with this idea of the earth revolving. Now, this idea was contrary to all former opinions of both the Torah and the Havdil, all scientists who lived prior to that age. So no one, not even the Goyim Lahavdil, ever thought of this idea being correct until he came along, poisoned the minds of the world. The fact that today the scientists have seemed, I say seemed to have found proof to his theory, seemed to have found proof, this too is warned in the Gemara. It's warned in the Rishonim, the Rabbeinu Chananel, the Psachim, the Shita Mikubetzet in Ketubot, warns about the fact that these scientists will come up with proof through the use of telescopes and other instruments, but the warning is know that these are illusions. It seems so. It will seem so. It will seem they are correct. Know that the truth is that Moshe emet v'Torah to emet. Words of the Torah are always true and nothing but the truth. They are the words of Hashem. We don't have to go into the scientific explanation to show why this is an illusion. I believe it's entirely unnecessary because the Torah does not need us to assist it in proving its veracity, its truth. Suffice it to say that the time will come, naturally, that the emet me'eretz tismach, the truth will rise up, shine out, and will be recognized. But woe is to those who will first recognize it then, rather than accept it now with pure emunah. Ashrei to those who live with pure emunah, accept the word of the Torah as the truth. Tzadik be'emunato yichya. Now the Gemara says a person who wants to gain wisdom and wealth, there is a means of doing so. In both cases, of course, if you want anything, apply to the source. Where is the treasury of wealth? In heaven. Hashem says, Li'a kesev li'a zahev. I am the owner, the possessor of all wealth in the world. You want wealth? Turn to Hashem. You want wisdom? Turn to Hashem too. So how does a person turn to Hashem with this? The minister says a person wants wealth. If he wants wisdom, then turn to the south. The south means to the right, because we always face east. Kedem, forward, means east. A person faces east in davening. And automatically, if he faces forward, his right hand is the south, the left hand is the north. According to Kabbalah, the Darom, south, is Chesed, the right is Chesed, kindness. The Samol, the left, is Din, Givura, harshness. So right is Chesed or kindness, right is Darom. Person who wants wisdom, turn to the right, face the right. And a person who wants wealth, face the north. Mitzafon Zahav Yata, gold comes from the north, the pasuk says. Now this means, of course, at best it means a person should always stand facing towards the east, but he should incline his head, turn it slightly towards the right if he wants wisdom, slightly towards the left if he wants wealth. This is what one rabbi says. This we find in the Shulchan Aruch too, mentioned lightly. Of course, it's much more advisable to face Hashem and get it directly there. There are reasons behind this depth in Kabbalah, but as I said, we will not go into Kabbalah tonight. The other rabbi says that if a person wants to get wisdom or wealth, always turn to the right, because in the right you'll find both wisdom and wealth. Now, the debate here is this: is a pasuk orach yamin bimina bismola oshev kavod? There's long life, which means depth, which means wisdom, on the right side of the Torah. There's wealth on the left side of the Torah. So that if a person wants this long life of wisdom, turn to the right. If you want the wealth, turn to the left. The second rabbi says, turn to the right. When we say the left, there is wealth in the left, it means in the left of the right, because the right itself has a right and left in it. According to Kabbalah, there's chesed shebechesed and gevura shebechesed. You have, in the right side, you also have a right and a left. In the right side of Torah, as the Gemara says, Gemara itself asks the question, when you say that the right side, the more important side, has life and no money, the wealth has the money, the left side has the money and the wealth, surely the right is more important. So the Gemara says, Kol Shekein Oshev Kavod. The left side has only wealth, and the right side has both long life, wisdom, and wealth. The right and left, of course, he once explained, meaning the right means learning Torah Lishma, and Smola is the letters Lo Lishma. Learning the Torah not for the sake of pure mitzvah, but for selfish reasons. So there, a person can get wealth. Person learns the Torah Lishma for the sake of the mitzvah, then surely he can find wealth, which is less important, there too. But this is the reason, Mefedeshim say, that when Shlomo HaMelech was asked by Hashem, make a wish, whatever you want will be given to you, granted to you, he very wisely said, I have a choice between taking wisdom or wealth. He said, I shall take wisdom, which means to the right. And Hashem said, you were very wise, because if you took wisdom, which means to the right, Kol Shekein, you surely will have wealth too. And therefore, he said, give him both wisdom and wealth. Another interpretation is that the right means the main. The left means the tafel, less important. A person wants to become wise, then he should turn to the right. Right means Torah. The left means business. So a person should turn to the right, meaning spend his main majority of time in the study of Torah, he'll have wisdom. Turn to the left, majority of time for business, you'll have wealth, but you'll not have wisdom of Torah. Person, on the other hand, the second rabbi says, if you want to have both, turn to the right, you'll find that, which means give the majority of time for Torah, and the minority, the lesser amount of time for business, for derecheretz tafel, you'll find that you'll have both Torah, wisdom, and wealth too, which will be brought to you by the wisdom of Torah. Let's hope that we fulfill this very sagacious advice to study Torah Lishma, for the sake of the mitzvah of Torah, which means to gain the wisdom of Torah, and purely for the sake of fulfilling the words of Hashem that are found in the Torah. Both the Lamod and the Kayim, but above all, do both with emunah shleima in the words of Torah. Faith in the Torah means faith in Hashem. And the zechut of that emunah will be zocheh to see with our eyes the coming of Mashiach, the Binyan Bet HaMikdash, building the Bet HaMikdash, and the Gula Shlema for Klal Yisrael, Amen, Amen.